Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Shechita Perek Yud Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph Chapter 13 Law 11. We're talking about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, sending away the mother bird, and we did the first half of this perek yesterday. And we discussed the idea, the various requirements that make the, when it's an obligatory thing. And now we're going to get to some interesting situations in Yud Aleph. This was, I think, Paul's question yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. We already said it has to be kosher birds and kosher eggs.
The turkey and the chicken.
So now what if you have a kosher bird who is hovering over kosher eggs, but they're not her eggs, and it's not even that species of bird. So let's say it's a chicken hovering over
a duck egg,
let's say. Okay, so everything's kosher, it's just not the mother and not her kids, and it's a different species. Okay, so this is a shaila in the Gemara that was never answered in the Gemara.
So Rambam's going to answer.
So now, how are you going to answer? So he says, "Hareze meshalach, you should send it because we have to go lechumra to send the mother bird away. But if lo shilach, but if he doesn't, ain't a loka. We don't lash because since it's a shayla, he can't lash out of doubt. So that's that shayla.
Do we know whether you get a mitzvah for that?
Well, it's a suffik. So it's you get brownie points for trying.
What if it's the same species but not the mother?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that would be hard for us to ever know. Let's put it this way. How would you know? We couldn't ask the Shiloh. You see a chicken sitting on chicken's eggs. Well, how would we know it's another chicken's eggs? We wouldn't know. You know, we'd assume it's the same ones. You're right, it could be, it's not. But I don't think that. Only if it's a different species could we know it's not her eggs.
Well,
otherwise, there's no way to know.
Who?
Yeah, that's right. Hoysa, okay. Hoysa aim treifa. What if the mother was a treifa? Meaning to say she's going to die sooner or later. Something wrong with her. Chayev l'shalcha, you still have to send her because that has nothing to do with anything, the fact that she's a treifa.
It's a breed.
What does it have to do with anything? She's a kosher bird, she's alive, she's over the kids, send her ways. There's no union of shechita over here, so what do I care if she's going to die one day? Still, there's a chiyah for it. The next halacha you'd base is very hard, not for me to explain it, but for us to understand what the Rambam means, and the commentaries struggle greatly to understand the logic of this mess Rambam. Now, this is a Gemara. Now, the Rambam learns the Gemara one way, Rashi learns it another way. So, shochat miksa simonim. If some of the simonim of the bird have been shechted, remember, there's two simonim by the bird, the trachea and the esophagus. If you shecht one simon completely, it's already a dead bird, right? So, the shaila here is you shechted part of the simonim. So the commentaries say we're talking about a little bit of the esophagus. You just cut a little bit of the esophagus. Now, because if it was talking about the trachea, there'd be no shiloh over here. Because remember, the trachea, you have to cut a majority of the trachea for it to be considered a problem and for it to create a trephus, for it to be a good shkita on the one hand, or maybe for it to be a trepha, but by birds it's not a shiloh anyway. Because it's not a problem. But here we're talking about you shech a little bit of the esophagus. Now, he started shechting. Now, what happens if you would stop at this point and do nothing more? It would be a trefa, because any amount of a hole in the esophagus renders it a trefa.
Right.
So, what's going on over here? What is happening is, instead of sending the mother bird away, what he does is he just grabs the void, right? And start shechting it. Okay. Now, he shechts it and he starts the shechita. Now the question is, now of course this is not initially to be done, obviously. You're supposed to send the mother bird away. But you haven't done it. So he starts the shechita, goes, oh my goodness, I'm supposed to send this mother bird away. So now you have two options here. Should I just stop shechting it and send the mother bird away?
Well, that's a great thing.
Or should I just finish off the sheet and have dinner? So that's the shaila. Shochet makes a simonim. Yeshech part of the simonim. Besochet came while it's in, hovering over the nest. Kodim shikachena before you took the mother. Now, by the fact that he says kodim shikachena before you took it, so clearly that's how the Rambam learns the Gemara shaila of shechting part of the simonim. So what would be the halach if you shechted part of the simonim before you took it? What should you do? Chayav l'shaleach, send it away. Now, this is also a shaila the Gemara. It's a shaila the Gemara. And now it's not clear what the shaila is according to the Rambam. But he says, it's a shaila the Gemara that's not pasuk. And he says, you should send it to be machmir. Vim lo shilach, and if you don't send it, ain't a local, we don't lash him, because since it's a shav, you have to send it or not. So therefore, we wouldn't give the guy lashes. Now, the problem is, what's the shaila? This is the way the Rambam's learning. What is the shaila? You know, for sure send the mother bird away. Like, what's the shaila? Because we just learned in halacha before, if it's a treifa, send it away.
Yeah.
Right? So what is the shaila? So even if it's a vadai trefa, you're chayef to send it away. And certainly, and if you didn't, you should get lashed. But the Rambam seems to be saying it's a suffix. Whenever the Rambam says, you should send it away, but if you don't, you don't get lashed. What's that telling us? He's playing it both ways, because he's saying it's a suffix. Follow? So it's a suffix. Since it's a suffix, send it away. But if not, you don't get lashed. So the Beis Yosef says, I don't understand the drama. Well, how could that be the shaila? So shaila. Once you begin to shef the simmon, you still have a mitzvah to send the mother bird away. So right, so it'll be a treva. It's a treva. Fine. Send it away. What could the shaila be? This is a difficult part. Now, the other Rishonim, Rashi, just for your information, they learned the shaila, if part of the simmon were shefted, it's not going on the mother. It's going on the chicks. It's going to the chicks, and now that becomes an interesting shaila.
So you shefted the chicks?
You started shefting the chicks, but not enough. Let's say one chick. Okay, you only have to have one chick. We'll see in a minute. You shefted one chick. Now, if you'll finish the shechita, then you're going to have a kosher bird. Now, here's the shaila here. If you know, what are you going to do? Should you stop shefting, send the mother bird away, or shecht and eat? Now, let's look at the two sides of the coin. If you stop shechting and send the mother bird away, what's going to happen now?
Treva.
Can you go back and shecht the little chickie?
No.
You could, but it's going to be shehiya. There'll be a delay and it's treva. Now, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says two things. Send away the mother bird, and then take the chicks for yourself. Means they eat it. But if you already shechted a little bit of the chick, you're going to send the mother bird away, you can fulfill the first half of the pasuk, but not the second half of the pasuk. You're not going to end up getting the chicks. On the other hand, if I just shecht the kids, at least I'll get the kids, but I wouldn't have sent the mother. So that is at least a sort of a shaila. According to Rashi, that's the way the shaila is.
Because other chicks.
Well, let's say only one chick.
Can't you send the mother bird while you're shafting?
So then, that's a little bit tricky, because you have to be very dexterous to do that, my friend. It's hard, you know, shoo the mother, you know, it's like, you know, rubbing your stomach and panting at the same time.
It's like, you know, it's a locking
you're shafting the bird. But the way the Rambam learns, it's very difficult to understand the Rambam. Okay. Yud Gimel. Other shilas. Haisem ofefes. The mother bird is hovering over the bird chicks. Im kinofeh nagas b'gein. If indeed her wings are touching the nest, then chayv l'shalech. That's when the obligation to send the mother bird away exactly exists. But if she's just flying over, but she's not touching the nest, pater milashalech, you're not obliged to send it away. Because it says, very interesting, the Bryce over there learns the following. The Pusik says like this. The Pusik says, Va'aim rovetses. The mother is rovetses. Now, rovetses is an interesting word. Rovetses literally means like crouches. That's what Torah says. You see, the mother bird is crouching over it. Now, there's other words it could have used and didn't use. Torah did not say, for example, Ma'ofefes, flying over them. Right? So it means it crouching and not flying over them. Because if it's flying over them, it's not touching, it's excluded. Also, it didn't say yosheves. It didn't say sitting on the birds. But rather it says rovetz, it's crouching. So it means it's not necessarily sitting on it, but even if it's just touching it a little bit, that's enough. Certainly if the mother's sitting on it, you would for sure send the mother bird away. That's not a question.
How far away?
But the fact that it calls it rovetzes and not meofefes. Meofefes means flying over it, so it means it at least has to be touching the birds. If it's not touching the birds, then there's no chiyuv to send it away. Now becomes an interesting question. What about if you have, where am I now? One second, I lost the place. Chayav l'shaleach, one second. Okay, now, hoysa matlis o knafayim chaytzas. Let's have a matlis, a type of a garment, a blanket or something, or cut off wings, some other wings that were separated, feathers. Separating chotzitzos, banket of ebin akein. In other words, she is flying over the kids. She's touching the nest, but in between her touching and the kids, it's a little blanket, a chatzitza, a separation, or some loose feathers, separation. So she's really not touching the kids because there's a very thin thing intervening in between. What's the law? That's a shayla de Gemara that was not decided on. Therefore, the Rambam goes again with the doubt. Hareza mishaleach, you should send the mother bird away in suffek to send it away. Vimlo shilach, but if you don't send it away, ein aloka, we don't lash.
Even if it was like leaves on top of the nest or something like that, would that be the same?
Well, it has something that would not be considered part of the nest. Something not part of the nest. Now, here are other shilas that the Gemara asks that are not answered, and the Rambam will rule similarly that lechachil to send away, and b'dievid you don't get lashed. Let's say there were two rows of eggs. There's one row, and then on top of the bottom row, there's a top row. So there's, okay, so now what's going to happen is, ukunafea no goes pesero, and her wings are touching the top row, but not touching the bottom row of the eggs. Or, osha haiso ravetzes albeim muzoros, or it was crouching on those musoros, those eggs that you know are not fertilized, that they're not going to hatch. V'tachteim beim yafos, and underneath are good eggs. Oh, shahoisa aim al gabayim, or there's a mother bird on top of a mother bird. Oh, and that bottom mother bird is on top of the eggs. Oh, shahoisa zochar lakein, or there's a male over the nest, which we know there's no mitzvah to send the male bird away, but for aim al zochar, and then the mother, the wife, is on the husband, and the husband's intervening. So in all these cases, arei ze lo yikach, you shall not, this is all the shahal, you shall not take the mother bird. You shouldn't take the mother bird. And if you did take the mother bird, you should send it. And if you don't send it, you don't get lashed. Now, some of the shilas are we can understand. The first one is a little bit hard to understand.
Yeah. The top row of the two is fertilized eggs.
Also, the wording of the Rambam is very strange. In the halacha before we're shilas, it says, "Hareza meshalech, you should send it." It doesn't say, "Hareza lo yikach," and then im lokach is shalech. Here, he says an extra expression, is you shouldn't take it, and if you take it, you should still send it. So it's also a little bit strange. Does your commentary say anything about the two rows of eggs, Sam?
No, it just says what he said before, you should be stringent and send it away.
I understand, but the question is, what's wrong with the first case? There's two rows of eggs.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
Unless they mean the top row is unfertilized.
Yeah, but that was the later part says that. The later part says that, right?
It so says,
"Oh, shoyser unless albei musdaris v'tachteim beim yafos," right?
But maybe that's going on the first part.
No, it doesn't seem that way.
Can't think of another reason.
So I don't understand the fact that it was hovering over the first pair of eggs.
Because when it
in the first case, it's over the first pair of eggs. So that's already chayim on the first pair of eggs. I don't understand.
On the unfertilized part, it says unfertilized eggs, but there were good eggs below them, which seems to talk about two rows as well.
Yeah, but that's a separate case.
Yeah.
So I don't get.
I hear.
That first case, two rows of eggs, and the mother bird's wings were touching only the top row. Oh, unless you want time like this, maybe the top row is not in the nest. Maybe it's outside of the nest.
But if
In other words, they're not in the nest. Let's say the bottom one's in the nest.
So the eggs have to be in the nest.
If they're in the nest, she's hovering on them, so she's touching the birds in the nest and all that. But this, it could be like out on top of the nest. The second row's higher than the nest. So she's really not touching the eggs in the nest.
Is that a requirement for the mitzvah, the eggs need to be in the nest, or can they just be on the ground?
I don't know.
We haven't talked about that. But
I don't know. Then he's not going to talk about it. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what that first case is. All right, let's move on. Tesvav. How about this case? Let's say she's sitting in the nest, and there's eggs around her in the nest. And when it says she's not touching, doesn't mean she's not touching them at all, but she's touching them from the side. Usually the mother, if the eggs are here, the mother's touching them from on top. That's the normal way. Here she's in the nest, she's only touching them from the side. Question, is that considered hovering over the birds? Is that considered rovetzes? Is that crouching over the eggs? Or not, if she's beside them and touching them beside them? So he says clearly here, potter mushalech. You don't have to, because it says it's rovetzes al. It's crouching on the eggs, not next to the eggs. V'cheirim ha'isa b'tzad ha'keg. Let's say she's to the side of the nest. And the wings are touching the side of the nest. Same thing. Put them a sheikh. There's no obligation to send it. She's got to be on top and touching them. Tezayin. How about another similar example? Let's say you have a nest with two branches of the tree over the nest. Let's say you have the nest here and two branches over here. And the mother's sitting on the two branches and over the nest, but not touching the nest at all. Haisal shnei bade ilan. If the mother's sitting on two branches of the tree, vakem bedem, and the nest is in between them, rowing, we take a look. Kol she'ilu yinit labade. If we would remove those branches, tibal akein, she would fall on the nest. Remember, she was sitting on it in a way that if we moved it away, she was that would be considered like she's sitting on them. Then chayiv l'shalech. Then you have to send her, even though she's not touching the nest. Because the main thing, she's over the children, even though, and this way it's called on the kids, even though she's not literally touching them, but if we would move those branches, that's an interesting chiddush, I wouldn't have said that, but that's
true. She's hovering over the nest, we don't have to shoot
her. Yeah, but here I guess she's sitting, so she's sitting if we just move, it's like we did yesterday, like we learned this morning, if you're leaning, and if we'd move the shtender away, he wouldn't fall. That's considered standing. So I think if she's sitting, if we'd move the branch away, she'd fall. So it's like she's on top of him. It's a chiddush. I could hear to argue on that, Rambam. Okay, Yudzayin. What if she's only sitting on one egg only? One chick only. Oh, or only on one egg. Chayiv l'shaleach. You still have to send the mother bird away. Because it says the mother sits on a nest, and a nest comprises of a minimum of one egg or one chick. It's still called a nest.
Well, it says nest, so maybe it can't if it's just
right,
an egg.
But it's got to be something. Obviously, it says send the mother bird away and take the chicks. It's got to be something in it.
Does the Torah use the word like nest?
Yes, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So if that's the case, maybe if there's an egg and no nest, you wouldn't have the mitzvah either.
Well, we haven't talked about that, right? But interesting case. But so one egg, one chick is considered that which is in a nest. Now, how about Hamotse Kain al Pnei Amayim? Where do you find a nest floating on the water? It's floating on the water, and the mother's over there, and you're swimming, and now you want to get a mitzvah. You're going on a boat, and you could shoot away from a nest that's on the water. Or Gavi Balachaim. Let's say a nest is on a camel. And you're walking by and you see this mother bird hovering over the nest on top of a camel or any other living human being. Chayiv l'shaleach. You have to send it away. Now, the commentators discuss what's going on over here. Well, first of all, the idea is, the Torah says if you find a nest on the way, so it's got to be on a way. So if it's on a road or on a street or something, you walk by, that's a way. So the Gemara says that it says water, a river is considered a way. It's considered a derech as well. So therefore, it is not excluded. Similarly, if you find it on top of Balechaim, Gemara says if there is the head of a person, okay, or really ahead of any animal. Because it says in Shmuel Beis, interestingly, when a messenger came back, it said there was Adama al Rosha, there was dirt on his head. He had to show mourning, he put dirt on his head. Now, why didn't it just call sand? No, it called it dirt, because even if it's been removed from the ground, but if it's put on a person, it's still considered ground. So therefore, the nest is still considered part of the earth when it's on the person, so that's good enough. Now, the question is, so you're chayv to send away even in those circumstances. The question is, the pasuk doesn't seem to say that. The pasuk seems to say, talks about the plural of chicks and eggs, it's on both halachas now, and it says on the way. So the Rama's going to say, the fact that I wrote that didn't mean to be specific, it was just giving us the normal case, but not to be exclusionary, as he explains. Lo nemar afrocha v'beim, the fact that Torah writes the plural chicks and the plural eggs, which would tend to suggest that you have to have more than that. And also it says, v'lo nemar, it also says, v'choleis, if you find it on a tree, while it's on the earth. So you figured that would exclude the river and exclude the head of a person or an animal. But no, that wasn't meant to exclude. It was Ella, Shadibar, Akasa, Behova. The Torah was giving us the typical case. 95% of the time, you're going to find chicks in a tree, right? And you're going to find them on the way, right? So that's normal. But it wasn't meant to be exclusionary. And therefore, and usually you'll find plural. Usually you'll find more than one egg in a nest. More than one chicken egg. So the Torah is just giving you the typical scenario, but it wasn't meant to be exclusionary for these other cases that we mentioned.
Sometimes we're very specific.
I know, you have to know when they are and when they aren't.
Yeah, this seems like the opposite of what we usually do.
Well, yeah, you have to know what the Masorah is. As part of it is the Masorah. Like Moshe said, this halacha is sometimes the Torah talks about the regular way. Depends on the way it words it. And sometimes it means to be specific. You're right. How do you know when one is the other? That's the Masorah we have. Okay, now we come to a very interesting halacha, which really impacts on this whole mitzvah completely. Yud Ches. We start off with point A, but it leads us to point B. Also, Liskos Babeim calls Manshem or Vetzlem. Number one, you're not allowed to acquire the eggs as long as the mother's on top of them. The mother's on top of the eggs, you're not allowed to take those eggs. You first have to send the mother bird away, then you take the eggs. Right? And if you take them, that's a really bad thing. Now, why is Ram saying this? You'll see why in a second. Now, you'll see what he's driving at. Lefikov, therefore, afilo haisa revetzes ala beim, olef rochim balioso v'shovcho. Let's say you wake up one morning, you see a nest that's on your property, in your dove coat, or on your, roof.
Loft.
A loft. Okay? And the nest is there, the chicks are there, the mother's on top. Okay. Now, it's on your property. Now, what would you normally think if it's on your property?
Kinyan.
We know that your property is able to acquire things for you. It's called a kinyan chotzer. Something in your property, you can acquire it, right? So let's think for a minute. The eggs are on your property. Now, remember we said yesterday, the only time the halacha applies is if you perchance upon it, as opposed to something that you have prepared, that it's yours. So now let's think. Now this becomes a very great question. So let's say you've got a bird dove coat, right? Whatever. Or let's say a simple case. You've got in your house, what did I mention, the eavesdrops. Yeah, right? At your house. Now you wake up one day, you see a bird has put a nest on your eavesdrops. Okay. Now, are you chayv or not? So if we would say that your house was a chutz that was koine it, would mean those eggs are yours. If the eggs are yours, then you couldn't do the mitzvah. But what did we say? You're not allowed to take the eggs till you send away the mother, right? So if you're not allowed to take the eggs, can your chutzer be koine something that you're not allowed to do?
Absolutely not.
No! Therefore, just like, so he says, v'lokona lo chatzera. Adam is up. These are not considered prepared, even though they're on your property. Because you're not koine it with a kinyan chatzer. Why? Just like you couldn't have others acquire it, nobody could acquire it while the mother's on it. So your chatzer can't acquire it as well. So as long as you can't acquire, your field can't acquire. And if you haven't acquired it, So really, the commentators say there's a typo in the Rambam, because the Rambam says just like you couldn't have others acquire it. That's not really what's happening over here. And they say you should take out the word acherim, and it means just like your field can't acquire it, he can't acquire it. So therefore, kach lo tiska lo chatzero. So his chatzer is not acquiring, and therefore, therefore you're obliged to send the mother bird away. And the mitzvah applies. So it would come out from this Rambam, if you would find on your property, and you didn't prepare it at all, a mother bird, a nest, at least we've gone by the first requirement. We still said, what else are you going to have to know? Is it a female on top of the birds? Is it a kosher bird? There's still other things that you have to pass by the requirement. But it could be a mitzvah if it would be, you know, sometimes that birds nest on fire escapes. I've heard of that. So therefore, if they decide to do that, then you have a mitzvah. So if you have a tree in your backyard and you see that they nest in your backyard, if you can determine it's a kosher bird and it's a mother on top of the eggs, and those are eggs that could hatch, or there's chicks there, yes, you would have the mitzvah. Okay?
So you keep chickens. You actually,
no, but if you have your own chickens. Yes, see, that's no, different.
So this is they just came and made a nest.
You never saw ever a nest on your property? You never saw a nest on your property?
But what wild birds are kosher?
That's, I'm saying it would have to, that's what we said.
So
it would, no, it would, no, I don't know.
Ducks.
It would have to be a pigeon. The only, a pigeon would be
a duck. Exactly.
But ducks don't make nests.
Really? It must somewhere.
Not in Thornhill.
At the duck pond.
Algonquin.
At the duck pond.
Okay, but not in Thornhill.
At the duck pond.
Maybe next time you go camping, you want to try the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKain. What?
Yeah, we never see the nests.
See the mother and all the chicks.
I don't know.
That's
got to
be somewhere.
So that says... We're seeing
but the kind of nests that I've always seen are like from those like kind of blackbirds, you know.
Sparrows.
I don't know. They're not kosher. They're not kosher.
You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Crows,
you
ravens.
They're not.
Are we saying you should try to do the mystery?
So that's a whole big machlokes achronim. If you don't want the eggs, do you have to? But it's a great mitzvah. Why wouldn't you want to do it?
I'm saying it's a bracha.
We're going to get to it.
Let me ask you the previous case.
No, as a matter of fact, we're not going to get to it. That's a very good question. No, because we're going to get into Kisra Adam, the bracha. What? Just scramble eggs, man.
No, you know you're not going to eat it.
But it's a mitzvah. So do it, because it's a mitzvah.
But if you fertilize, how can you get the eggs?
Why not? What if it's just the album? What's a regular egg?
It's a purpose. You're going to kill the eggs
and
for no purpose other than... You're doing a mitzvah.
So, okay, there's a big machlokes, the nigla and the nister in this inyan. If you look at the commentaries on the reasons why for the mitzvah, so I believe the Sefer Chinuch says the reason is to teach us not to be cruel. Right? That's in the world of the nigla. The Zohar says an incredible thing. The Zohar says, you take the eggs away, the mother comes back, the mother's horrified. She's unconsolable. She goes looking all around for her kids. She can't find it. Then she commits suicide. And then at that point, Hashem feels bad for his chicks that have fallen away from him. Klal Yisrael, and when it awakens, Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. Go figure out the Zohar. I'm not even going to begin to try
to. But
the Zohar is saying it's the opposite. But eventually arouses God's mercy. And that would be the whole difference between that, if you tackle a hold of you have to do it, or if you don't want to, you don't have to do it. That becomes a machlokes. Yes. So, listen, it's a great mitzvah, man. There's all kinds of schoolers that it provides. So, if you have the opportunity to do the mitzvah, man, do it.
But you actually have to, sorry.
But you should take it and do what you can.
Can you put them back? Can you take them? Shoot the mother or take the eggs and put the eggs back.
But then if it comes back, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah.
So
remember, you have to keep shooing it away. Keep them, man.
So there's no way of creating a situation where you can...
Even if it's... Listen, you never know. It could be the early... Or let's say little chicks. You shech them.
Is there any way of fabricating situations?
You shech them. Have little special gooselings.
Is this purely happenstance? There's no way you can create the situation.
You cannot create this. If you create it, it's not allowed. It has to just purely come to you.
That's by chance. Back to there, we're saying that in the case we have to substitute... others on your behalf with your sade? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's saying just like you can't acquire it yourself. He should have said, kashem shenichon liskos for yourself. then you can't do it for the field. That's the typo that this says in the Rambam.
We're a very complex people. On the one hand, we show so much mercy and so much care. On the other hand, we can be...
That's what Hashem is telling us to do. That's what Hashem is telling us to do.
What did Hashem tell us?
Okay, we're going to stop here because Mordechai is ready to go and it's 9 o'clock. I don't want to take away from your...